Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. It is the Rock and Roll Friday edition. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. What I'm about to do in this hour will require that I ask children to leave the room. If you have young children in the room, I would suggest truthfully that you turn the show off, because what needs to be said will be said in polite ways, but it's not for children. And the story is about a liberal, an extremely left-wing radical, not just a liberal, a super flamer on the left, who polluted the airwaves of the Bay Area for many years, hating America, hating the flag, hating police, hating the troops, hating the family, hating the church. He was loved by some in the Bay Area and despised by many, which happens in talk radio. But this man, Bernie Ward, is about to be sentenced next week. He's a liberal talker, if you want to call him liberal. The prosecutors are demanding 9 years. His lawyer wants 5 years. And I'm going to read you some of the excerpts from the Bernie Ward sentencing memorandum. You don't have to know who this man is to draw a conclusion and call the show as to what you think the sentence should be. Liberals in the Bay Area claim that Bernie Ward, a talk show host, a far left, radical left-wing talk show host, is being prosecuted on child pornography charges simply because of his political beliefs. But when you listen to the following descriptions of what this man allegedly did, you will decide for yourself whether you think he is being persecuted and what his sentence ought to be. Here is a known child porno hound who has received no condemnation from any public figure in the city of San Francisco. I will ask, when will the San Francisco supervisors, when will the mayor of San Francisco, any Tusum Newsom, that group, that gang who condemned me for my stand against illegal aliens by issuing a proclamation against Michael Savage, when will you sick pieces of garbage issue a proclamation condemning Bernie Ward? Here are their names: Jake McGoldrick, Michaela Alioto, Aaron Peskin, Ross Mirakarimi, Chris Daly, Sean Esburnd, Bevan Dufty, Tom Ammiano, Sophie Maxwell, Gerardo Sandoval. These politicians took time out from this city to write a condemnation of Michael Savage simply because I stood up for the rule of law. And they have nothing to say about a fat slob who distributed images of children as young as infants, tied up, bound up, forced to perform sexual acts. Children as young as 3 years old being subjected to abuse of the most serious kind, S&M. And I'm going to read these to you. And I'm going to ask you, is the sentence too long? Is it just the right amount? I got to tell you something. When I came in today, I was thinking about this from the morning till now, of how I wanted to handle it. And I was going to say, I think the sentence is too harsh, that 5 years, even 5 years would be too much. At first, listen to me carefully. At first. Remember, the government wants 9 years for this guy. His lawyer pled plea bargain and wants five. I was going to come in and say, you know, this guy has suffered to an extent he can't suffer anymore. His children and wife have suffered for the rest of they'll suffer the rest of their life for what he did. What's to be gained by putting him away, I said, for even 5 years? I think 1 year is enough. But I don't believe that anymore. After I read the kinds of images this man was trading in, I changed my mind. And you got to understand this. This is not just pornography. This is not simply pornography that is legal. This was pretty amazing. The defendant belonged to a list group of individuals who would trade images of child pornography with one another. Occasionally, the defendant would make specific requests for types of images, example, young or family, when prompted by another list member to send what you like. The images defendant received and sent included numerous images depicting very young prepubescent minors, 3 to 9 years old, typically females, engaged in sexual acts graphically depicted with adult males. Defendant continues to assert he only engaged in his criminal conduct to research people on the internet who trafficked in child pornography. He added that he did not think his activities were illegal. He comments that he was drinking heavily at the time when he came up with the idea to conduct this research, and he did have a book title in mind. He did not provide the title, but assured probation that he was eager to earn a book deal with his idea and was blinded by greed. Defendant's position, now listen to what the prosecutor says, the federal prosecutor says, defendant's position in minimizing his culpability is precariously close to failing to accept responsibility, which in the plea agreement entitled to a 3-point adjustment. This man sent and received horrific images of small children being bound, gagged, and brutally sexually abused. Let me repeat that in case you have sympathy for the devil. This man sent and received horrific images of small children being bound, gagged, and brutally sexually abused. Now remember, he did not bind, gag, or brutally sexually abuse children. He did not do that. So the question is, why should the sentence be so harsh? Well, the answer, according to the federal government, is to try to diminish the number of children taken off the streets and put into these movies. If there's no market for it, the fiends who are snatching children from around the world will have no market for their wares. That's why the government is cracking down on this. It gets worse. In the context of his trading with Sex Fairy 2005, he discusses his sexual attraction to his own children's friends in his home. While this may be fantasy, it is certainly inconsistent with a journalistic enterprise. The defendant's argument should be regarded for what it is, says the government, a baseless last-ditch effort to minimize his culpability and salvage something of his reputation in the community. We are talking about a sentencing that will be coming down next week for a super radical left-wing talker named Bernie Ward, who used to work for Barbara Boxer, by the way. He was once a staffer for Barbara Boxer, who, by the way, was an expert in the U.S. military, don't you know? That's right. That's where Barbara Boxer got her expertise in the military affairs, was from Bernie Ward. I have to slow down here because it got me very upset, and I sent it to some of the adults, adult members of my family, and they all came back with the same thing. Remember, you know, I'm the oldest one in the family. There are younger ones than me by 35 years. They all said, let him hang. Nobody had sympathy. It's funny how it turned out. Again, I want to remind you that the report is graphic. If children are near, turn this radio off for them. If you would like to just read it yourself, go to michaelsavage.com because it's not just the article from the newspaper. It's then the case against Bernie Ward, which contains graphic sexual content, which I cannot and will not read on this radio show. But you owe it to yourself to read it. And let me tell you why. Not for salacious reasons. It is because of the following that I decided to publish it on my website or reproduce it. And that is this, because many people are nice people out there listening to this show. They don't even like my show. They listen to me for whatever, but they don't think I'm a nice guy. They're nice people. They're very compassionate people, genuinely. And they think that Bernie Ward's being too harshly condemned with 5 to 9 years or whatever. I want you to read this. I'm aiming this mainly at the liberal listeners. I want you to read what he actually looked at and then ask yourself what you think. And again, I want to say the following. Why has the mayor and the San Francisco supervisors who wrote a proclamation condemning Michael Savage, when I took a stand against illegal aliens, they actually issued a city proclamation condemning Michael Savage. These rats have never condemned this child pornographic, this guy in child pornography, Bernie Ward. They have names. Mayor Gavin Newsom. Shame on you, Gavin. Shame on you. Jake McGoldrick. I would say shame on you, Jake, but I know you are incapable of it. Michaela Alioto-Pierre, of all of them, she is the most disappointing to me because I know her family and they're wonderful people. That she would have tried to condemn me simply for political gain turns my stomach and makes me sad. Aaron Peskin, the worst pest in the history of the city. I'm not surprised by anything this left-wing mole does. Ross Mirkarimi, Chris Daly, Sean Ellsburn, Bevan Dufty, Tom Ammiano, Sophie Maxwell, Gerardo Sandoval. I would say, shame on you, have you no shame? And the answer is they're incapable of shame. They're incapable of shame, all of them. They're soft on child porn, in my opinion, because they believe it should be legal. Let the savage nation decide. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number, michaelsavage.com. What do you think the sentence should be for Bernie Ward? After you've read what he traded in, please, don't give me generic statements if you don't mind. Let me begin so you know what I'm talking about. Page 5 of the sentencing memorandum, which again can be found on michaelsavage.com. The images the defendant received and sent included numerous images depicting very young prepubescent minors, 3 to 9 years old. Typically females engaged in sexual acts graphically depicted with adult males. Now I'm going to have to change the wording. The sexual acts included blank and blank, as well as sodomy. In some images, the children are depicted bound by rope or handcuffs and are either being forced to perform sex acts with an adult male or are being blank. In one image, a minor 9 years old is being whipped. The FBI obtained a federal search warrant for defendant's residence. Actually, I don't think I can go on, actually. These images were sent to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which identified approximately 12 known victims, with some appearing in the read folder and some in the sent folder. So if you see kids on milk cartons, now you know where they're going. They're feeding the minds of these fiends. When these guys are running around with the dark vans and the smoked over windows, are grabbing children off the streets, they're being put in these movies. And these movies are being produced for men like him. And that's why the FBI, to their credit, and the government, to their credit, is so harsh on this. It actually is getting me sick. I almost feel like crying because I can't believe anybody can do this to a child. I can't believe it could be done to a child. It's not in my mind that anybody could do this to a child. Forget about looking at it. How do you do this to a kid? I mean, we could think of punishments for those who snatch the children and force them to do this. And there's no point in, you know, roiling ourselves with this. On April 7, 2005, defendant made a statement to an old friend regarding his involvement with child pornography. The individual contacted the FBI and stated he had information that was relevant to its investigation. He indicated he had known defendant for approximately 20 years. On April 3rd, 2005, he relayed that when he saw the defendant, he gave him a hug, and when he did, the defendant burst into tears. After asking the defendant what was wrong, the defendant stated to him, "I've been looking at things I'm not supposed to on the Internet." He then clarified that he had been looking at pictures of children. Upon hearing this, the friend asked how long the defendant had been involved in child pornography, to which the defendant responded that he had been looking for pornographic images of children for 1 year. The defendant further told the friend that the FBI had searched his home, and he believed he had, quote, been caught because he was role-playing with someone. Let's pause here for a moment. In other words, he was crying to a friend because he had been caught. Caught, not because he had been looking at children. It was because he knew he was caught. Now, I'm going to interrupt this show today only if Obama announces his running mate to discuss that, because it's certainly a big and very important story. Again, this is the Savage Nation. I direct you to michaelsavage.com to read the case against Bernie Ward and the graphic sexual content, so you can decide, because I'd like you to decide what his sentence should be, more or less. On the left side of the headline is another very important story, and that is the homicide epidemic in San Francisco. A man and his two adult sons were executed in cold blood by a filthy, dirty, verminous rat, illegal alien gang member kept on the streets by the mayor and his henchmen. The man and his sons are dead. The widow is alive. Her heart has been cut out of her by the mayor. The heart of this woman has been cut out of her chest by Mayor Newsom for letting this rapacious murderer back on the streets. The DA should be in jail. The district attorney, Kamala Harris, who did not prosecute that man, should be in prison for having released him on the streets. We have no power, though, but I'll tell you who does have power. He'll be on this show. He is the lawyer for the widow. They're suing the mayor and the city. And then when that comes out, you'll find out what really went on. You may find out why the city, the so-called city officials, have been aiding and abetting and hiding drug dealers in this city. It may not be very pretty. I suggest they fuel up their jets and their friends' jets and get ready to go to Switzerland. I'll be back.
Savage.
All right, let's break into the discussion of the talk show host, the liberal, who's going to be sentenced for dealing in child pornography. This just came up on the Drudge Report moments ago. They're claiming that the running mate is going to be this guy Bay, B-A-Y-H. You know, big deal, ho-hum. Does anyone have any idea why the man who is slipping in the polls, who has no foreign experience, who he himself is too green to be president, would pick another unknown? I have an idea, because B-A-Y-H, Bay, is four letters, and Obama is five letters. And in order to fit it on a bumper sticker, they needed a candidate with fewer than five letters as a last name. That would rule out most people. In fact, if you look back since 1960, I think it's anyone with more than four. Let's see, this Gore got a lot of votes. Bush got a lot of votes. Clinton, that's too long already for today's level of intelligence. Obama, Bay, 08. This is Birch Bayh's son, the son of a nonentity. That's just what he needed right now. What a mistake. You see, once they start to make a mistake, it gets worse and worse and worse. It's unbelievable. It's just a rumor right now, just a bumper sticker company, you know. But even if it isn't, why would he pick a nonentity like this? I have no time already. I have such good callers. Mike, Kansas City, quickly, go ahead, please.
Yes, it's an honor, Mr. Savage. I'm a law enforcement officer of 20 years. I just want to point out that every photo that these sickos possess or trade or whatever depict a crime scene frozen in time. They may as well be in that situation with these kids where they fantasize about this filth. Now, trading in such evil...
Hold on now. You're saying that, in other words, a picture of a little child bound up and crying and being abused is a crime scene, and they're being created specifically for sick men like this.
That is correct, and these idiots are perpetuating the supply and demand of this.
All right, well, that's why the government is throwing the book at them. I'll read on that.
Savage.
Thank you.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and ride.
Thank God for talk radio, that's all I can say. Just thank God for a place where we can discuss ideas truthfully and express emotions. In a media that has no emotion, that's real, it's all fabricated. Talk radio stands apart, it's a medium that permits emotion. Real emotion, not contrived, not written, not directed, not produced. It's real, mine and yours. We'll go on. What should the sentence be for this man who traded in child pornography? Now, look, let's clear the air. I don't know him personally. He worked in a station I worked in when I first got there. He was an obnoxious human being. He was mean to everybody around him, but especially to me. He tried to stop me from making getting started in radio. So what? So did a lot of people. I don't hate them. One thing about me is you got to understand one thing about Michael Savage. The reason I've been able to keep moving forward in life is I get very upset and I get very angry very easily, but I can move past it. You ask anyone who knows me. I tend to put these things behind me. Otherwise, you can get stopped or trapped in your life from age five with vendettas and resentment and hatred, and you'll go nowhere in life. The secret to my success is the ability to move beyond insults, abuse, and enemies. Just keep moving through them. I got to say something about this now. This is all tied up with something I wanted to put in my autobiography, which is going to go up on my website Monday. I should have added it to the introduction. Maybe it's not too late. When I was a child, my father warned me that life was a jungle, and I disagreed with him because I was like, you know, a progressive liberal child in school. What did I know? High school, I was trained to believe in people and trust people. Every child is like that. And in that sense, many good people become liberals, but because they're children, they've never been hit by life. But my father, being an immigrant, warned me. He said, don't think people are nice. Don't trust anybody. I mean, I was raised that way. I'm telling you point blank. And he said to me, life is a jungle. And I said, no, Dad, it's not a jungle. Well, now that I've reached a certain point in my life, almost at the level that the Bible promised to be the extent of a lifespan, to be honest with you, and I'm not hiding it. I'm happy that I got this far. I would say life for me and for most Americans is not a jungle. Middle-class whites, life is not a jungle. To me, life is an obstacle course. You have to get around things and over things. You don't have to crush them or kill them. That's how I see life. Life is an obstacle course. Now, if you're a black kid born into a horrible ghetto where people are shooting each other over nothing, then life is worse than a jungle. It's worse than for people in a jungle. It's a little different for different people. I may have been poor, but I wasn't living in that kind of world where you got shot for wearing a different color. So I understand the differential in American society. But for me, life has been an obstacle course, not a jungle. And in that sense, this man, Bernie Ward, who I'm talking about, was never my enemy. He was simply an obstacle that I had to learn to ignore. I had to learn to ignore what he was saying about me on the radio and getting around him. That's all. And it's the same with all the other people who have come after me in the last year and before the last year of radio. I don't have any hatred for them. I think that they're just obstacles that I have to keep moving around. So I'm sorry to get so personal about it because I've told you, you see, when it comes to children, I don't know how to put it. I have always had a very, very protective, defensive spot in me for children because of my own personal history with that situation, which many of you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to go into it again. It'll be in my autobiography in one of the stories called My Silent Brother. So when I see a man who looks at pictures of children 3 years old tied to a chair being forced to do things with a man, I'd like to see him thrown. I'll stop right here. The Romans had it right. You know, the Romans didn't have any children put into child, so far as I know, child pornography. I don't mean in the sense of visual, digital. There were no movies, obviously. Maybe somebody engaged in using children in sex in ancient Rome. I'm no expert on that part of it. I didn't want to read about that history of it. I know the Romans were depraved. But I know this. The worst crime you could commit in ancient Rome was patricide, the killing of your father. And that was because the greedy, stupid, degenerate, narcissistic sons wanted to inherit their father's title and estate, so they killed him. And so the older guy said, if we don't put the most severe punishment in for patricide, we'll all get killed. So they came up with one. They took the guy, the son who committed patricide, and they tied him up. They put him in a burlap bag. And in the bag, they put a mad dog, some kind of scorpion, a snake, a rat, something else. And they tied him all together and threw him into the Tigris River while the guy was alive. That tended to diminish the desire to commit patricide amongst the patrician sons. They thought about what would happen if they got caught. Now, it's the same with child pornography. And I'm trying to make, you know, the case here of why this sentence seems to be so severe. I want to read it to you. And I'm going to have to do this delicately. It's from page 6. The probation officer reviewed 17 of the images defendant either sent to receive via his email. According to her, the photos involved primarily female minors, including, and I'm going to, you know, edit this, a female toddler, two, an image of a male's private part. I think you get the picture. A young girl tied up with rope. 100 photos were involved in the instant offense. Now, this is now becomes the interesting part of this show. Guidelines calculation. The United States adopts the offense level computations. Listen to this. The criminal history score and the resulting sentencing guidelines range set forth in the pre-sentence investigation report in all respects. So this is not just just randomly picked by a judge. There are actually context and guidelines for sentencing in cases like this. I don't want to read it all to you, but you can go on to michaelsavage.com because this should be saved. I never knew that this is such a big deal here. I mean, how it's done. So the guidelines for sentencing are such that the government recommends low end of the guidelines range. The court should sentence the defendant to a term of imprisonment of 108 months. See, he could have gotten 20 years. But the court said that it should be less than that, 108 months. And supervised release of 10 years with the conditions recommended by the probation officer. Sentencing the defendant to the low end of the guidelines recognizes the victimization of the many children depicted in these images, defendant's culpability in distributing these images to approximately 10 other individuals, and defendant's current efforts to minimize the criminality of his conduct. See, that's what got the prosecutor really angry. A, defendant's current efforts to minimize his culpability for the crime and failure to accept responsibility for his conduct. You know, once you're caught, let me tell you something, man, you better be contrite. Don't be a wise guy. Don't play Philadelphia lawyer. Don't start saying you were doing a book and you were drunk. They got pissed off at that. Now, I'm not going to read any more right now where if you have kids present, you have to turn it off. Okay, defendant continues to assert he only engaged in his criminal conduct to research people, okay? Research people, you'll have to bear with me on the Savage Nation, on the internet, who trafficked in child pornography. He adds that he did not think his activities were illegal, i.e., interestingly, he comments that he was drinking heavily at the time. When he came up with the idea to conduct this research, he did it to have a book title in mind, blah, blah, blah. Now, here, listen to the key sentence here. Ladies and gentlemen of Savage Nation, because you really are the jury, I'm going to ask you at the end of all of this what the sentence should be, more or less. You are now the jury. This is the court of public opinion. This is naked. This is psychological nudity, what you are listening to on the Savage Nation today. I am delivering the goods up. Defendant's position in minimizing his culpability is precariously close to failing to accept responsibility, which in the plea agreement entitled him to a three-point adjustment. Listen to what I just read to you. The prosecutor is making a statement that he could have had a three-point adjustment in the sentence if he accepted responsibility, but they're claiming he didn't. Although standing by the plea agreement, the U.S. suggests that this court should consider the defendant's failure to, one, fully accept responsibility for his actions, and two, acknowledge the impact and seriousness of his conduct. Now, here it comes. Again, children, please. Adults, take them out of the room. The man sent and received horrific images of small children being bound, gagged, and brutally sexually abused. Look, there's no way to, you know, go soft on this guy. He engaged in this conduct with at least 10 other individuals. The method in which he traded these images does not reveal any indication that he was engaging in a journalistic enterprise. The images were sent and received without discussion. Defendant willingly traded in his currency of suffering children, contributed to each child's cycle of abuse, and facilitated the dissemination of their horrific record of sexual abuse. Once these images were sent by defendant, he had no control of them any longer, and he could not undo the harm. Moreover, in the context of his trading with Sex Fairy 05, he discusses his sexual attraction to his own children's friends in his home. While this may be fantasy, it is certainly inconsistent with a journalistic enterprise. Now, we can go on, and we will go on, but I think you're getting the picture. It's filling itself out here. But here's an important one. In the sentencing document that is on michaelsavage.com, which my excellent staff got for you today, Congress has repeatedly stated that penalties for the offenses committed by the defendant should be harsh. Now, this is amazing. The defendant is in the general population of sexual offenders that have been deemed worthy of significant federal punishments. The court is aware of the relatively recent statutory and sentencing guideline amendments that have strengthened the federal penalties for offenses related to the sexual exploitation of minors. Approximately 5 years ago, Congress enacted the Prosecutorial Remedies and Other Tools to End the Exploitation of Children Today Act of 03, the PROTECT Act, Public Law 10821, in large part to enhance the penalties for crimes involving the sexual exploitation of children. As justification for higher sentences in child exploitation offenses, Congress stated, and it's one paragraph, this is what Congress wrote, the government has a compelling state interest in protecting children from those who sexually exploit them, including both child molesters and child pornographers. The prevention of sexual exploitation and abuse of children constitutes a government objective of surpassing importance. New York versus Ferber, blah, blah, blah. And this interest extends to stamping out the vice of children, of child pornography at all levels in the distribution chain. Now, what's interesting here is that the bums in this city who condemn me for standing up to the illegal alien hordes who wanted a free college education have not come out condemning Bernie Ward. Would you expect anything else from those rat bum scum? I get condemned for a statement I make, and this guy is not condemned by anybody. I'll take a call. Gary in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Godfather, it's unbelievable to me. I'm reviled by this. I couldn't be on that jury because the sentence couldn't be harsh enough for someone like him. Okay, and that's not all I want to say. There's a lot of things I want to say about a lot of things that you say. Godfather, the older that I get, and I'm a middle-aged, I'm in my mid-50s with a five-year-old. I found out about you about 5 years ago. I tape record your programs because I homeschool my kid on you, Godfather. I'm so thankful to God for you.
Well, I can't even I can't even respond to you because I hear emotion in your voice that isn't that, that nothing can be said to it. I can hear that you're resonating right now with rage.
I'm a visceral anti-liberal. What you said about the backlash that's going to take place in this country because of the radical liberal agenda that's hidden from view.
Last week I said that we are on the end of the arc of liberalism in America, not the beginning of it. And that we are in the beginning of the arc of a radical conservative explosion in this country. And I see it with young people. Even young people who wear rings and nose rings. I talk to them. And they're very conservative. They love America. They're stand-up people. Forget what they wear on their face and what their sexual interests are. I am telling you, liberalism is finished. And Obama is the end of the arc of liberalism. He is not the beginning of it.
I'm going to hang up and let you talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a hey, Mambo.
Go back to the Savage Nation. I mean, you got to have a little fun here, the Calabrese. San Francisco has a lot of Calabrese Italians. Nice people. Nice people. They know how to cook. 1-800-449-8255. They allege to me, the Calabresi tell me that they're basically Jews who converted to Catholicism during the Middle Ages. I wouldn't know, but we could talk about that another time. It's very interesting. San Francisco has a very large Calabresi Italian community, which is very unique, by the way. See, I came from New York where it was not Calabresi primarily. So you learn different groups, all nice people. You know, you get that right down to it. In every group of people, there are good people and there are bad people, nice people and not nice people. You really cannot, you can't, truthfully. The older I get, the more if you really listen to people and look at them and talk to them, you can't really prejudge people. You don't know what they're going to do, by and large. You can't. And that's the hope for humanity, by the way. Now, I don't want to philosophize here. It gets a little thin. But let me get back to this horrible, disgusting, miserable story of this super left-wing talker. And by the way, if you had ever heard him on the radio, you never heard hatred in your life like this. Never. Many of you accuse me of being a hater, and that's because you hate America. So anyone who defends it, naturally, you think is hating it. And you know that I hate those who attack the children. I hate those who attack the military, particularly those under fire. So to you, I understand your minds are twisted, and you think that love is hate, and hate is love, and that's because your mind is warped. I mean, this was a real hater, this one here. This was a hater. If you ever heard him cursing troops who had served in Vietnam, men who had risked their lives and lost eyes and legs and arms and what he called them, if you had ever heard him rail against the San Francisco Police Department, men who made his life possible in the streets of this mean city, you know, you would understand what I'm talking about here. You're not talking about just a guy with liberal ideas. You're talking about a very mean person who projected a very horrendously mean persona. And behind the scenes, he was doing these things with the images of children, exploited children, little infants, according to this document that I have in my hand. And I want to conclude with page 9 of the actual case, which contains graphic sexual content. And again, you can read it on michaelsavage.com over the weekend. And I really want you to download it, frankly, and hold on to it so you don't suddenly forget what happened here. Because you know the libs are going to say he's being prosecuted and persecuted simply because he's a liberal. Well, you're going to have to judge for yourself after you read this. In the case of child exploitation prosecutions, the government has a compelling interest to protect children from those who would exploit them. The defendant is the very type of offender that Congress contemplated when it drafted and enacted the PROTECT Act. I cannot believe this. The federal child sexual exploitation statutes and penalty provisions are designed to provide just punishment for the offenses that the defendant has committed. Most recently, on July 27th, 06, Congress enacted the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act of 06. And you got to read that. I can't read you every word. You can. Government's position regarding remand, blah, 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 submitted by Michael Yoon, trial attorney, Stephen Crocky, trial attorney, Andrew Oosterbaan, chief of the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, Criminal Division, Department of Justice. This is a big deal here. You're not talking about a small case here. They're throwing the book at him because they want to send the message out to the rest of the people out there who may be engaging in this that we're looking for you, we're coming for you when we get you. No matter what shyster lawyer you get, buddy, you're going away. And you may not believe it until it happens, but you're going away. Now, what happens to the people once they hit the prison, I don't know. I know that there is a hierarchy in prisons. I know that we have over 1 million people in prison for offenses as minimal as smoking a few joints too many times. All the way up to the most vile Hannibals you could ever imagine and that you don't want to imagine. And I do know that in this hierarchy of prisons, the lowest of the low are child pornographers or child rapists, probably. It would, if someone actually did it to a child, I guess they're the lowest. I really don't know that what they're trading, blah, blah, blah. It's not my world. I know this, that he cannot go into the general population. It's impossible. And I do not know how a man who has a narcissism and an ego like this. And by the way, let me pause. Anyone in talk radio has egotism and narcissism, or they couldn't do this job, myself included. Okay? I do not know how a person of this type can survive in that type of confinement, especially not in the general population. I mean, I personally could imagine surviving in a prison if I had to in a general population. If I had to, God forbid, don't get me wrong. We all think about it, you know, back of our minds, like thinking about death. You know, what's it going to be like when the lights go out? So you think about it. Sometimes I think prisoners who are not in not bad prison don't have such a bad life. They have more friends than I do. The meals are fixed for them. They don't even ask the cook whether he wants more garlic or less. It's just all garbage. But at least it's there and that's the end of it. Balanced trash 4 times a day with Kool-Aid. You don't even have to think about health food anymore because it's just such garbage. Yeah, but the point is you got friends, you can schmooze, talk in the prison yard, work out, come out puffed up, bumped, you know. You know, you got someone to talk to. Talk shows have no one to talk to. It's you and the microphone and millions of people. It's a virtual world. But let me tell you, when that jail cell smashes shut, the virtual reality becomes a reality.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday. We are talking about a very sad case, truthfully. And that is of a man, a 57-year-old man, former extremely radical, flaming left-winger on the radio for many years, father of 4 or 5 children, lovely children. I met them when they were young, you know, for a few minutes in the studio. They look like beautiful children. Lovely wife. And behind the scenes, he was looking at child pornography, including children as young as 3 years of age, tied up, hurt, sexually exploited. And I don't want to go into the details of what they did to these children in the pictures. This photo has been identified as part of the Saban series of photos that were taken in Brazil in the mid-1990s. The female in the image is known as Saban, who was approximately 12 to 14 when the photos were taken. I won't describe what's in them. Go to michaelsavage.com. But I asked you what the sentence should be. The federal prosecutors are demanding 9 years. It could have been 20. The attorney for Mr. Ward is asking for 5 years. I'll let you be the judge. After you read the sentence, the U.S. District Court, Northern District, California, San Fran Division, memorandum, the sentencing memorandum of the United States, I wish you'd read it. Date, August 28, 2008, time 10:30 a.m., Court 6, 17th floor, Judge Honorable Vaughn R. Walker. We will see what Judge Walker decides to impose upon Mr. Ward. It's entirely in his hands. Now, whether the prosecutors, Michael Yon and Steve Grocki, will accept Judge Walker's sentence, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm not into it. But Congress has repeatedly said that the penalties for the offenses committed by the defendant should be harsh. They enhance the penalties for crimes of this nature. The government says it has a compelling interest to protect children. The federal child sexual exploitation statutes and penalty provisions, they say, are designed to provide just punishment for the offenses that the defendant has committed. This is not outside the realm of what these sentences are designed for. So I ask you, should it be 5 or 9, more or less? I'm going to take some calls, then we're going to play an important piece for you. And at the bottom of the hour, we have an attorney on for Mrs. Bologna. That's the widow of the man who lost a husband and 2 grown sons to an illegal alien felon who had been arrested and released by Mayor Gavin Newsom and District Attorney Kamala Harris. They're suing the city. It's a claim filed by the Bologna family, and their attorney will be on this show. That's what radio is all about. What I'm doing today is what this is all about. You know, it's late August. You think that it's just summertime and there's no news. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of news out there if you know what you're talking about and you know what's important. And I know both what's important and what I'm talking about. But let's go to you. Let's make this quick. Marlon in Las Vegas, go ahead. You have a different opinion. Please express it.
Yes, I do. This is just a thought crime, nothing more. And the sentence would be probation. And that's because, just like you protect free speech, there's also the freedom to listen, the freedom to look. And the guy is the least of American citizens, but you have to protect his rights too. And the man didn't harm a child any more than you are responsible for the gays that got hung in Iraq. I mean, you talk badly about the gay lifestyle, and justly so.
Whoa, I'm missing. You're jumping all over the map. Gays that got hung in Iraq that I'm responsible for?
No, well, you've said bad things about gays, but I wouldn't condemn you because they hung some gays in
Iraq. So you're comparing what I say about homosexuals to trading in child pornography?
Yeah, child pornography doesn't involve the criminal abuse of children.
Wait, let's pause right here. I'm going to show you that you're wrong. Do you think these children as young as 3 willingly perform these acts?
I don't know that any acts occurred.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? What do you mean you don't know? There's pictures of little children tied up, being forced to perform sex with adults.
To be honest with you, I don't really go into such things, but I do know.
Oh, you don't go into them. It says the sexual acts included sodomy as well as oral sex. In some images, the minors are depicted bound by rope or handcuffs and are being forced to perform blah, blah, blah on an adult male or being blah, blah, blah. In one image, a child 9 years old is being whipped. Do you think these children knowingly volunteered for these photographs, Marlon?
Was it in this country? How long ago did it occur? It could have been a
little. So you're changing the discussion. So in other words, it's okay to do that to children in Brazil, according to you.
No, we're talking about the influence.
Well, you just said it's okay to do if they're not American citizens.
No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Well, what did you say? What exactly are you saying?
I'm saying it's not against the law to think a thought or to express a thought, or to listen to somebody else.
You're correct, but it is against the law to engage in the trading of child pornography, specifically because the children are not there willingly, number one. And number two, if you punish those who look at these kind of images, Marlon, it's less likely that the people will snatch children off the street and make them do them.
Wrong, Michael. If you talk bad about gays, it's more likely gays are going to get hung in Iraq, okay?
You see, your problem is that you're obsessed with being gay, and that has blinded you with regard to everything else. And that's sad, because you can be gay and still have an open mind. You, unfortunately, don't fit into that category.
Not gay. I'm an intellectual.
Oh, yes, you are. Well, you ought to be gay. It might make you feel better. You might be able to think better if you engaged in something that would make you feel better. What do I care what you do? I've said it 1,000 times. Again, I'm smeared by people like you who don't even know what I say. I am a sexual libertarian. I do not care what an adult does with another adult if it's consensual. But when you bring children into it, that's another story. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Texas, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Yes, Michael, please say your piece.
I was going to tell you that you would have saved the LaFia family hundreds of thousands of dollars on a Yale education if I just could have heard you when I was 18 or 19 years old.
Well, you remember the book 2 years before The Mast where the author of the book wrote that when I go to sea, it's 2 years at sea are better than a Yale or Harvard education. Remember, who wrote that book? 2 years before The Mast. Who wrote that? God, I'm sorry, my memory's not perfect right now. But that's more or less what you're saying. But this is 2 years before the microphone instead of 2 years before the mast.
Yes, it was an interesting experience, and I tell my father about it. As a proud Italian-American, it was very interesting to spend that amount of money on learning about Afrofeminism and many of the very, very interesting...
Oh, yes, that's what the Yale education has become today, Afrofeminism, Afro-Leninism, and of course, Obama is the perfect candidate for Yale graduates. Thank you for the compliment. We're rushing right now to get something in. We must do this. KGO News has done a special report, and we have special permission to play it, about the child pornographer or the gentleman who traded in child pornography, Bernie Ward, and the prosecutor is asking for 9 years in jail. Listen to this carefully.
Good evening. The U.S. attorney wants Bernie Ward to serve 9 years in prison for child pornography.
The former KGO radio host heads back to court in 1 week, and the sentencing memorandum just filed in federal court shows why prosecutors are asking for so much prison time. Our Dan Noyes obtained a copy of the report today, and he's here now with an IT follow-up.
Well, Dan and Carolyn, we have to give a warning right up front. The sentencing report provides graphic details of the crime to which Bernie Ward has pleaded guilty. We now know Ward had 100 images of what the FBI calls the most egregious kind of child porn. Prosecutors have identified at least 12 of the young victims, and that Ward's close friend reported him to the FBI. The 26-page sentencing memorandum filed by federal prosecutors lays out the case against former KGO radio host Bernie Ward, saying, "This man sent and received horrific images of small children being bound, gagged, and brutally sexually abused."
And up in my mail came up child porn.
The case began after Ward got into an online relationship with this woman from the Central Valley town of Oakdale who went by the screen name Sex Fairy. After 2 to 3 weeks of instant messages, Ward sent her child porn, a picture of a naked 14-year-old boy, a clothed 12-year-old girl, and a topless woman in her 30s, all touching in a sexual way.
When you saw that, what went through your mind?
Oh my God, basically, my stomach wrenched. My stomach turned, and I was trying to figure out, what do I do?
She called police, who brought in the FBI. The sentencing report says agents identified the photo Ward sent as part of the Saban series taken in Brazil in the mid-1990s, Saban being the name of the girl in the picture. When the FBI served a search warrant on Ward's AOL account, they found 100 more graphic images in his read and sent files, mostly girls from 3 to 9 years of age, in various forms of sexual contact with adult males, some bound and gagged, one being whipped.
We have to say that child pornography, by its nature, is shocking. The allegations as to the content of this particular child pornography are some of the most shocking.
Prosecutors say Ward belonged to an online list group of people who traded child porn, that Ward made specific requests to the group for young or family pictures, and sent at least one image of child pornography to approximately 10 different members of the group. The FBI sent the images to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which identified approximately 12 of the young victims from its database.
Many times what the pedophiles will do is that when they have a sexual encounter with a child, they'll always take a photograph so they can trade it with their friends. It becomes like a trading card. So the well-known ones are traded over and over and over again on the Internet.
The sentencing report also reveals that in April 2005, shortly after the FBI raided his home, Bernie Ward met an old friend, hugged him, and burst into tears, saying, "I've been looking at things I'm not supposed to on the Internet, child porn." When the friend asked for how long, Ward answered, a year. Ward's friend then called the FBI, stating he had information that was relevant to its investigation. Prosecutors sent a letter yesterday asking the judge to view the images that Ward sought out and sent, what they call child pornography of the most egregious kind. ABC 7 legal analyst Dean Johnson tells us that's an unusual move, but a good one for the prosecution.
I think to have a real appreciation for how serious these crimes are, you really should look at the images, as difficult as that is to do.
Now, we called Ward's attorney for comment several times today, but didn't hear back. The sentencing report also mentions an I-Team investigation that found complaints of sexual misconduct against Ward when he was a priest almost 30 years ago. Now, that could play a role in sentencing, but probably a minor one in light of all the evidence in the child porn case. I'm posting the entire sentencing memo in a new I-Team blog at ABC 7.
Thank you very much. That was an excellent report by the local TV station, Channel 7 ABC. This is the Savage Nation. We had special permission to run the report, and thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it. That's the case, and I'm going to ask you again, what should the sentence be? This is the court of public opinion. It has no bearing whatsoever on Judge Walker's mind, I am sure. But the people in this country have had enough of children being snatched off the streets and being used like this, and the only way to stop it is to cut off the buyer for it, the user of it. Let's put it to you that way. The end user dictates the creator of this stuff. That's the whole point. You know, at first blush, you say, look, he didn't rape any kid. He didn't touch any kid. He didn't actually do any child, harm. But then when you think about it, someone did. Someone did it to these children. All a long connected arc here. I'll take your calls when I come back. And remember, at the bottom of the hour, we have a radio exclusive on the Savage Nation. We have the attorney for Mrs. Bologna, whose husband and two grown sons were shot and killed in cold blood by an illegal alien felon who was released on the streets by Mayor Gavin Newsom's district attorney, Kamala Harris, even though he had been arrested 2 months before for another alleged involvement in a shooting. She refused to prosecute him because he was protected by San Francisco's insane sanctuary policies. They're going to sue the city. The lawyer is here. Be here.
Savage.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there. They began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard those knocked out jailbirds sing.
It is the Savage Nation. The Bible promises 70 and 10. And let me tell you, when you get near 70 and 10, the world starts to look like a different place. Welcome back to the program. And we're talking about, a horrible case. There's no way to put it any other way. A grown man, 4 children, lovely wife, dealing in this kind of stuff behind the scenes. I don't know what effect it's had on the children. I can only imagine it's forever. You know, already the punishment for the children is total. There's no way this isn't in their mind forever. So, you know, when you say punishment unto the third generation, believe me, you don't have to do any more than that already. So you start to say, well, maybe he suffered enough, maybe 6 months to a year in jail. But when you look at what the images, we're not talking about like a nudist camp here with a child walking around naked. We're talking about terrible images. So what should the punishment be? 9, as the prosecutor says, or 5, as the lawyer says? Mary in Texas, your call. Go ahead.
It should be maximum. I'm a survivor. I never had anything like that happen to me. However, just hearing you has made my stomach throw up. I have a quote here from Isaiah. He, of course, wrote this many hundreds of years before Jesus was born. So out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 20.
All right, we got to do it quickly. I'm almost flat out of time. Quick.
Listen to me, quick. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness.
That's San Francisco. That's the mayor and the board of supervisors. They call good evil, and they call evil good. They condemn me, and they support him. I'm living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's not very pleasant. Thank you for the call. And by the way, it's one of the most beautiful cities on the earth. I walked around before my radio show today down on Market Street. I bought a little oil painting from an artist in the street. I saw beautiful young tourists, and it was a beautiful day. And I saw a beautiful city, but you know what? It's beautiful despite the left-wing politics. It's not beautiful because of it. These interloping bums are the problem. They're not the solution. All of this beauty was built before these bums got here from New Jersey and polluted it with their sickness. And it'll be good again when the real San Franciscans take the city back from these lice.
Savage.
We're going to go back to the Bernie Ward sentencing story and child pornography in a moment. Right now, we're switching to another tragedy, certainly a tragedy of biblical proportions. A man and his two adult sons were driving in the streets of San Francisco a month or two ago. They turned down the wrong alley. They tried to make a turn. A guy was coming at him in another car. They backed up. Without a word, he pulled out a gun and assassinated the father and his two sons. It turns out he was an illegal alien felon. He had been arrested 2 months prior and released by the district attorney of the city of San Francisco, who refused to prosecute him because he was protected by the city's amnesty policies. There's more to the story. Right now we have the lawyer for the widow, Mrs. Bologna. His name is Chris Kobach. And by the way, Chris Kobach was Mitt Romney's advisor on immigration during his presidential run. He was John Ashcroft's immigration advisor from 01 to 03. And Mr. Kobach is a law professor at the University of Missouri in Kansas City. Mr. Kobach, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a terrible case that's got the city. I mean, I live here, and I'm telling you, although the newspaper has hushed it up because they're on the side of this kind of amnesty policy or sanctuary policy, the people themselves are fed up with this. What is your chance of prevailing in this climate, though, in a court of law?
I think the chance is actually quite good. The reason being that the city of San Francisco's sanctuary policy is so clearly against federal law. I don't know if your listeners realize this, but in 1996, Congress was already fed up with sanctuary cities 12 years ago, because there were several of them, including San Francisco, already that had sanctuary ordinances on the books that say, you know, our police officers won't talk to the feds. And Congress passed a law saying you cannot do this, that it is a violation of federal law to have such a sanctuary policy. And so that means...
But Mr. Kobach, many listeners don't know the case. Did I describe it adequately? Mr. Bologna and his sons were driving innocently. They're not gang members. He's a normal working man. Isn't that all true?
That is all true. It was a Sunday afternoon. They were coming home from a family picnic east of town. And they were coming back, and then just almost randomly... this gang member Ramos, who by the way has MS-13 tattooed on his body, you know, he was a bad character, obvious to any police officer, and indeed most police officers don't like the sanctuary policy that ties their hands. And the city of San Francisco had this guy in their custody on three occasions, and you know those were three opportunities that were missed for the.
Well, wait, you said three occasions. I'm only aware of one. There were others.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this guy Ramos was his first encounter with law enforcement in San Francisco was when he was beating up a kid on a Muni bus, and he was arrested for that. The second occasion, he attempted to mug a pregnant woman, and on the third occasion, he was arrested in connection with a firearm in his vehicle that was connected to a double homicide. So,
well, why did the district attorney, Kamala Harris, not prosecute this man, Ramos?
Well, why she chose to, well, the first few occasions he was a juvenile, so that factored into her decision. But on the second, on the final occasion, they may not have had enough evidence at the time. But regardless, the point being, with regard to this claim the family is filing, regardless of what the city decides to do with respect to prosecuting him or not prosecuting Ramos, the city is obligated under federal law to allow its officers to call ICE. And turn this guy over to the feds for deportation. In other words, if the city's not going to hold on to him and try to prosecute him, then it is incumbent upon the city to take a violent offender like this and hand him over to ICE to be deported. And San Francisco's sanctuary law prohibited its officers from doing that.
So you're suing the city because you believe that the murder of Mr. Bologna and his two sons were a direct result of San Francisco's sanctuary policies?
Absolutely. The murder was preventable. If San Francisco had followed the law and complied with federal law, which says you can't bind the hands of your police officers, you must allow them to call the feds, this guy would have been deported or removed from the country, which is another word for deported. And, you know, on one of three occasions, if San Francisco just followed the law once on one of those three opportunities, then the Bolognas would be alive today.
Where is the mayor today on this? Mayor Newsom, I understand, backed off on the sanctuary policy, and then he was attacked by the more radical members of this city government. Where is the mayor? Where does he stand today? Do you know, Mr. Kobach?
You know, I don't know what his latest public stand is. I do know that he, as you referred to, he did initially say, yes, the city was wrong to do what it did with respect to Ramos and that we should have held on to him, we should have turned him over to the feds. And what the mayor's policy change was a very slight narrowing of the San Francisco sanctuary policy. He said, well, if we've got a juvenile felon, someone who's arrested for the commission of a felony who's a juvenile, we'll consider now talking to the federal government. We'll call the federal government in those cases. But that's only if he's been arrested in the connection with a felony. That's not far enough because it's against federal law to bind your officers in any way. And what happens in a lot of normal cities around the country is that when an officer realizes that someone's a gang member, even if he's not arrested in connection with a felony, that officer will call ICE and say, hey, we've got an MS-13 member here, and we believe he's an illegal alien. Can you verify that? And can you?
Why would the city fathers, if you want to call them that, be protecting gang members at the to the detriment of the civil population? Why are they doing this?
I have no idea. It is absolutely senseless, and it's putting San Franciscans at risk. I mean, there are undoubtedly future cases where San Francisco will have the opportunity to take a violent individual off the streets by calling ICE, but they aren't doing it. They're not making those phone calls right now, and as a result, people's lives are in jeopardy, and we saw the...
Mr. Kobach, look, you're a law professor. You were Mitt Romney's advisor on immigration, so you know what you're talking about. You're way up on the food chain in this area, so to speak. What is the likelihood of the federal government stepping in and arresting the district attorney for aiding and abetting this illegal alien murderer?
I think that's very low likelihood. You know,
what can the people do with a DA who will not even impose a death sentence on a cop killer, who is soft on unknown gang members? This is like Al Capone taking over Chicago.
Well, you know, the discretion of a DA to prosecute or not to prosecute, to seek one penalty or another penalty, is pretty well established. And you know, I think people quite reasonably disagree with a lot of decisions like that are made. But that doesn't, you know, give rise to a legal claim. But I tell you, in the case of what the city did with Ramos, and which led to the deaths of the Bologna family members, the city was not only violating the one federal law I already mentioned, the city was also committing the crime of harboring. It's long been a federal crime to harbor an illegal alien. And in this case, when Ramos was an adolescent, instead of turning him over to the feds, they put him in a group home. And they transported him to that group home and conspired to keep his identity and his illegal alien status out of the feds' reach. And you know, this is just...
So theoretically, if a U.S. attorney wanted to, he could crack down and arrest somebody in city government, particularly in that juvenile area. I'm the man has a name, and I won't mention it here. The man actually took them out of the country, others, and protected them. Theoretically, he could be arrested, couldn't he?
Theoretically, yes, in the case of harboring, because harboring is actually a crime, a specific crime, as opposed to the first law I mentioned, which just is a prohibition against sanctuary.
I think they'd be dancing in the streets with American flags waved if one of the city officials was actually prosecuted for what they've been doing. This city feels as though it's been taken over by a foreign entity. We don't know what to do about this. We have a DA who is tough on anything but the illegal alien, anything but the violent offender. The cops don't know what to do. They're some of the best police in the country in this city, and I meet them all the time, and they say to me that their hands are tied, just as you're saying. How is Mrs. Bologna doing? I can't imagine she can be doing very well. She lost a husband and two grown sons all in a moment's notice. Is this woman surviving?
She is coping, but, you know, I think there's still a certain level of shock there. You know, she's still, you know, as you can imagine, emotionally shaken by all of this, to just have your husband disappear and your two sons.
How old were the sons, Mr. Kobach?
Well, there were two sons, Michael, 20, and Matthew, 16. And then Tony, the father, was 48. And
all killed by the same guy, Ramos, for no reason?
For no reason. I mean,
Have you found out why he shot them in his own sick mind, his violent, crazy, homicidal mind? Why did he kill these people?
The We don't know. The police have been putting out some theories, and some of those theories have been reported in the newspapers, such as perhaps that somehow the killer thought that these men were gang members of a rival gang, which is just crazy because, you know, the father is 48 years old, and you know, there's no reason to believe that they'd be gang members and just randomly running into him. Other theories include that because of their skin color, actually their mother is Hispanic, and maybe that these MS-13 is known for just executing people because of they have the wrong skin color, or if they're Hispanic and not members of MS-13, that means that they are targeted for death.
And so, the father was not of Hispanic descent?
No, Italian. And so, you know, who knows?
Why has the Italian community in San Francisco has been so silent? I would have thought there would have been an outcry somewhere in San Francisco. I guess they talk loud in the restaurants and they say nothing when it comes down to helping their own kind. I'm so fed up with the cowardice in the city. Chris Kobach, I'm telling you, I pray to God that justice is done here. I'm going to try and raise money directly for the widow. By the way, who is paying for this case?
Well, this is a plaintiff's contingency fee case. So basically, we the lawyers are, you know, giving our effort in the hope that we prevail at the end of the day. And you know, I think ultimately what's going to make this country turn around, and especially make San Francisco turn around, is to realize that they are liable. When a city breaks federal law, that is negligence. That's inherently negligent. And when that breaking federal law leads to somebody's death, the city has to be held liable, held responsible for that. And you know, I tell you, a lot city councils all across this country respond to different things, but one thing that they do respond to is liability. And I think that may finally turn the situation around if people realize, hey.
If you can do us a favor on the Savage Nation, Mr. Kobach, you're the attorney, you've taken it on contingency. I would like to make a sizable donation to Mrs. Bologna for her personal use, just for her to know she's not alone and there are people who have a heart and soul out there who have some sense of what she is going through and what her loss is. If you could put her in touch with my people, I'm going to make a very sizable donation from the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund, and she could do whatever she wants with it.
I'd be happy to do that, and I'm sure she'd be very grateful.
Because God bless this woman. I don't know how she gets up in the morning without – I don't know how she can handle this. But, look, I'm glad somebody of your stature took this on, and we are 100% behind you, and we're going to follow this case every day. And please keep us up to date on it, please.
Will do. Thanks for having me on the show.
Chris Kobach, thank you for being on the Savage Nation. The time is 45 minutes after the hour, almost 46 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. We'll go back to the Bernie Ward case in a moment when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates. I wonder what the nation would be if three times a day we remembered that we were created by God and this nation was given to us by the grace of God, not by the design of man. I wonder what this nation would be today if the left-wing vermin had not taken down the Ten Commandments from every courthouse, every schoolhouse, every public house in this country. I wonder what this nation would be today if the Word of God was still upon the men of this nation and the women of this nation, and they feared God. I just wonder what this nation would be today. Austin, Texas, Robert, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'd like to comment on the emotional aspect of talk radio you'd mentioned earlier. Dr. Savage, you provide a catharsis for your listeners. It's a purging of our emotions, a cleansing, and a removal of the feelings that we have no other way to express, and you express it in such an articulate way. Sir, I thank you. Dr. Savage, I think one of the primary reasons, if not the primary reason, for your success in life is blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
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 And I just Amen. There's so many.
No, I'm very worked up right now. I may have to take a break from the show. It's too much for me, the whole thing. The city I live in is so beautiful, and yet it's so filled with evil and corruption. Just behind this color movie is a black and white evil that is incomprehensible, and it's an evil that has been put forth upon the city by people with names. And they believe that they are progressives, and they believe they are liberal, and they believe that they're good people, and that those who see it the other way are evil. It's too much sometimes for all of us. And so at these times, you have to turn back to the eternal. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who at thy word bring us on the evening twilight. With wisdom openest the gates of the heavens, and with understanding changes times and various the seasons, and arranges the stars and their watches in the sky according to thy will. Thou createst day and night. Thou rollest away the light from before the darkness, and the darkness from before the light. Thou makest the day and to pass, and the night to approach. And dividest the day from the night. The Lord of hosts is thy name, a God living and enduring continually. May thou reign over us forever and ever. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who bring us on the evening twilight. I don't know if I can go on with this particular program. In fact, I'd like you to play the Requiem for a minute. I got to collect myself for a second. I'm really getting angry. Savage Nation. Look, let me tell you something. There's so much going on in your world that is being hidden from you by the media that it's a miracle that we have a nation at all. It's a miracle that we have a nation left at all when you consider the forces of evil that are operational. An ad came out connecting Barack Hussein Obama to the communist Bill Ayers that Fox News and CNN won't run. I want you to listen to it right now.
Beyond the speeches, how much do you know about Barack Obama? What does he really believe? Consider this. United 93 never hit the Capitol on 9/11. But the Capitol was bombed 30 years before by an American terrorist group called Weather Underground that declared war on the U.S., targeting the Capitol, the Pentagon, police stations, and more. One of the group's leaders, William Ayers, admits to the bombings, proudly saying later, "We didn't do enough." Some members of the group Ayers founded even went on to kill police. But Barack Obama is friends with Ayers, defending him as, quote, respectable and mainstream. Obama's political career was launched in Ayers' home, and the two served together on a left-wing board. Why would Barack Obama be friends with someone who bombed the Capitol and is proud of it? Do you know enough to elect Barack Obama? American Issues Project is responsible for the content of this ad.
Fox News will not run that ad. CNN will not run it. We just played it for you on the Savage Nation. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. It is a tree of life to them that grasp it, and of them that uphold it, everyone is rendered happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Length of days is in its right hand, and its left hand are riches and honor. It pleased the Lord for his righteousness' sake to magnify the law and to make it honorable. If only the people of America understood that they were not born by accident, and if only they understood that America is a great experiment that could end. It could end drastically, and it could end rapidly.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about two very, very sad stories, crazy stories. I mean, it got to me at the end of the last hour, if you've been listening. I had a mini moment to myself here. I had to play music because you can only talk so long about depravity without it. It'll take a strong man and break them down. When you think that there are men in this world who will snatch children off the street as young as 3 years of age, and tape them to chairs and make them perform sexual acts or whip them for the pleasure of other men. There's only so much you can feel and think about. I mean, you know, I don't want to look at this. It's like a cancer surgeon reaches this point. Maybe an oncologist will reach this point where he gives up oncology. He can't look at cancer anymore. I'm living in a city that on the surface looks healthy, but if you look beyond it, I once had a gay friend when I first moved here who said to me, oh, when you come to know this city, this was way back in 74 before the gay movement became very political. They were just people. And I had friends who were gay and straight. And one of them said to me, it has a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. And I laughed. I mean, I thought it was very funny. But that's San Francisco to a T. On the surface, it's very charming and beautiful. But under the surface, there's a depravity here that's incomprehensible. And it's depravity that should be controlled by a city administration. That's what an administration does. It controls depravity. Instead, we have a mayor and a board of supervisors and a DA that actually promotes depravity and attacks sanity, attacks sanctity and sanity. And after a certain while, it can get to you. Then we had the case of the father, Mr. Bologna, and his two adult sons who were gunned down in cold blood by a gang member. For no reason. And the widow is suing the city. We had his lawyer on. You know, when you start to think about that, it's too much for the mind. It overwhelms you. I can't deal with it. I want the color version. I want Disneyland. I want the Walt Disney World. I don't want the black and white film noir in my head. I can't take it anymore. And that's what happened during the last hour. So if you want to talk about that, either of these cases, let's do it. By calling 1-800-449-8255, you can do it, or you can go to michaelsavage.com and read the prosecutor's case from what this man actually did. I'm not going to read any of this. I can't do it. I cannot believe this man was this sick. I knew he was full of hate. I knew that the way he comported himself and the way he was dirty and filthy and no one would go in the studio after him, and he stank. I knew something was wrong, but who paid attention? I told you, life is not a jungle to me. It's an obstacle course. And this guy was a big fat obstacle that I had to get around, and I did. And it was a long time ago. I never remembered him. I don't remember enemies. I walk, you know, I get around them. I don't remember them. I'm nothing against people. Or else you get trapped. I'm trying to tell you can get trapped and never go on in life. The trick is to not carry grudges. I carry no grudge for this man. I don't even know him. But I believe that his wife and children, my God, I don't know how much more they can be punished from what he did to them. Looking at the pictures like this, I don't know how the children can deal with this. I just can't deal with it myself. I don't know how they can deal with it. So anyway, what should the punishment be is the question. But before I take your calls on what the punishment should be for Bernie Ward, a progressive liberal talker who hates the military, hates the police, hates the church, hates mother and father, I tell you the truth, I almost feel like I need a religious person in this room with me in this radio studio to give a prayer to me and to those around me. Because I believe that it's a miracle that I'm even on this microphone. Not only I believe, I know it. I should have been dead by now. I mean, I know you don't want to hear this, and I don't want to get into this psychic stuff of my own doing. I know my family will hate me for it. They're going to get mad at me for this. But at a certain point, I have I have a disconnect between my subconscious and my conscious. And this is one of those moments where I can almost not hold back the sea within me, because there's almost no explanation of why I'm still alive other than God wants me here. That he gave me the microphone to begin with was a miracle, because it came so late in my life and so many things had gone wrong. This came to me as a miracle. And so many people have accused me falsely of things I've not done. It's still a miracle that I'm on the air, and it's all because of you. And it's because of the brave station owners and station managers who have stuck with me. And I have to say thank you to all of you, the audience, the stations, the station managers, the advertisers. Because at the end of the day, the truth will rule out. And the truth is a very powerful, powerful thing. Believe me. So I don't know what to say right now, honestly, God. I just want to dedicate the show all over again to God and to the listeners and to the advertisers and to the radio stations. But there are times that every man has to hold on to something and make a prayer. This is one of those. And I don't really have the right prayer to make. I don't know what to say. I don't want to go down there, because there's just a miracle. The whole thing's a miracle. This is all a miracle, and it's just flooding at me, particularly after what happened recently. You realize, you know, you begin a day, there's a prayer that begins with this, and it was written 5,000 years ago by the Jewish sages. And the prayer says, I don't remember the exact wording, how they knew this 5,000 years ago before anatomy, before Vesalius, I don't know. How they knew this 5,000 years ago is unto itself a question that requires a miracle for an answer. Requires an answer that says it was a miracle. But it's something along the lines of, you just bear with me because it's unbelievable. I want to get it right. I don't want to do it wrong. Well, something like this. The prayer goes like this. It says, Lord, thank you for giving me life this morning, because within my body there are many vessels, that if but one of them were to be closed for even a minute, I wouldn't be here. Now, how did they know to write that? How did the ancient sages understand to write that? Well, what is the point of such a prayer? It's to let you know that it's a miracle that you get up in the morning. That every night when you go to sleep, there's no guarantee you're going to wake up in the morning. And when you do wake up in the morning, if you only understood that it's a miracle that you woke up in the morning, and you said to God, thank you for not sealing one of the arteries or veins in my body and killing me, in other words, taking my life, maybe the day would be different. Maybe the whole world would be different. What if a million people said that to themselves every morning in America? What if we became not religious, but cognizant of a higher power? What would that do for this country? Would we be a stronger country? Yeah, I know that. Would we be a better country? Would it prevent any one of us from doing one bad thing that day? Yes. Think about the power of that. Like the one day that you're going to curse somebody on the highway because he cut you off and your ego is offended. We all do it. What if you just said, it means nothing to me? A million of us did that one day. And then what if one day we actually did something kind for someone else? What a change that would make, a revolutionary change in the United States of America. This country would become so powerful, it would be unassailable. Our enemies would blanch. They would fall by the wayside if we became that nation again, or if we became that nation for the first time. Now, I'm not the man to lead the nation in that direction, because I am not a religious man. I'm a spiritual man, yeah, but I'm not a religious man. I'm not a general. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a reverend. I'm simply a talk show host. It's one man talking to you here. And what comes out of one man sometimes can be interesting and miraculous in some cases, stupid in some cases, whatever it may be, it is. But when you're with an audience 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 15 straight years, believe me, brother, they're going to get to know who you are. And either they're going to love you, or they're going to hate you, or they're whatever. But they're going to listen to you if you're honest. And there it is. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has formed man in wisdom and created him many orifices and vessels. It is revealed and known before the throne of thy glory that if one of these be opened or one of these be closed, it would be impossible to exist and to stand before thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who healest all flesh and doest wondrously. Amen, brother. Amen. I know this is not, you know, a religious show, but, you know, think about what I'm saying to you. And why am I getting in this mood right now? Well, there's a lot of reasons. These cases that we are discussing today are so bad. They're so vile that they ache the heart of a man. They just ache the soul of a man. How could a man with four children be doing this in the privacy of his own home? Images of little children being tortured and abused. I don't understand the mind like that. I don't. I can't even project into that. And I'm no angel. Believe me, I'm no angel. Okay? But that? That's in another realm. How can a man pull out a gun and kill a father and two grown sons for no reason without saying a word? And that's walking the streets. How could the mayor of the city not beg forgiveness from the city and just say, I quit? I'm embarrassed that I'm such a bad man that I let this happen. How could the district attorney get up in the morning and not say, I quit? I apologize to Mrs. Bologna for having let this fiend on the streets, and I therefore resign. The people deserve better than me. What kind of country do we live in? We can't even go and say to them, you should resign if you had any grace, any dignity, you'd resign. But, hey, that's for them to judge, not me. And there's another reason that the open heart, open mind is happening today, and I'll tell you what it is. I am on the brink of Monday launching my book, my autobiography through my stories, 57 stories that have been polished and put into this book. It's not going to be in the bookstores. It's only going to be on the show and on my website. And you know what the title is? I'll tell you Monday because you're not going to believe it. Just please tune in on Monday and go to the website. It's going to surprise everyone. No one's going to believe it. It's going to shock the book industry and the radio industry. Portland, Oregon. Scott, welcome to the program. Sorry for the long monologue. What's on your mind?
Michael, I think God needs you to be calm and collected and give us your clarity of thought in these times.
Yeah, well, I know. Okay, sometimes I know that, but, you know, I lost my calmness and my clarity. That's why I had to play Mozart's Requiem so long, and that's why I had to start going to the prayer book, because I had nothing to say anymore. I had no words left in me.
I mean, we live through you vicariously day by day in these times, and it's good to have, you know, that clarity of thought and that.
But what I'm saying, Scott, you'll have to forgive me. I lost my clarity of thought because I couldn't speak. When I started to think of those children in those pictures, and I thought of the mother grieving for her husband and sons, I couldn't talk anymore. At that point, all you can do is go out and kill somebody. And since I'm not a homicidal maniac, all I could do is play music.
You get angry with you too, believe it. I think we boycott San Francisco.
I think what?
I think it's time to boycott San Francisco.
No. This is a beautiful city. No, it's, you don't want to punish the individual owners of restaurants and stores. No, the opposite is true. This is a beautiful, great city. I walk around and love this city. No. You don't boycott anything. I'm not into boycotts. No, sir. Just look, I'm going to take your calls, but I'm going to take one right now. Adam in New York, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to call, because the Ward case is just so sickening. I have young children, and you almost want to spend every minute of the day with them at this point, because you don't want some animals, some disgusting animals.
Well, let me tell you something. You better watch your children the way we watched ours. It's very good advice. Get paranoid. Don't get tolerant. This is a time for paranoia, not tolerance, because there are fiends out there looking to snatch your children off the street. You can take that to the bank.
It's beyond belief. I'm just stunned at this.
And
story.
Don't trust the schools, and don't trust the doctor, and don't trust anybody. You got to be with that child everywhere, or have somebody you trust with that child. That's the world we live in. Teachers having sex with children on a regular basis? And another teacher had more sex. What is happening to this country? It's depraved.
Say this to an average human being. They would sit there and be horrified. Who isn't horrified by this story? How could anybody do this in their right mind? I mean, this is insane. It doesn't even matter what you do, okay? Fine, you want to look at porn on the internet? Great. Go and have your fun. But children are off limits. I am sorry. You know,
that's where I'm coming from. That's exactly my point.
It's unbelievable. It's unfathomable.
Well, I hope you don't actually read what he was looking at, because they were real live children who he was looking at, who were put into those pictures. They're real children somewhere in Brazil or somewhere else who were taken from poor people and put into dirty movies so people like him could enjoy themselves. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back. Back to the program. We don't even have time for music right now. There's just I could do 5 hours of radio, and I've been really tired and worn out from these last couple of months and weeks. I'm going to take your calls in a minute, but listen to this for a minute, because you look at this child pornography thing, the liberal talker with the porn thing. You know, when the Bible talks about worshiping false gods and false idols, what do you think you're talking about here? Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, and you perish quickly from off of the good land which the Lord giveth you. What do you think that means? Does it literally mean that you have to bow down to a golden idol? You can laugh at it and say, that's ancient stuff. No, it means watching child porn. There's a golden idol. There's your idols. That's what we're talking about. And we need the wrath of God thrown down upon the people who trade in this. We need the most severe punishment imaginable for those who make children do this. New York, Edward, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. It's an honor to speak to you. Remember you. The first time I ever heard Pastor Hagee was on your program, Michael. And I know that there's been a lot of talk of him in the news with McCain and back and forth, but
I think Hagee is a wonderful pastor, and he's done a lot of good for God, so he made a few mistakes in what he said. You don't condemn a man for one word. Believe me, I'm in the business where you can say something you regret, and you don't even know what you're saying sometimes, and they want to crucify you for one word.
Yes, sir. That seems to be the way of the world at the moment. But he wrote a book called The Seven Secrets, and basically it speaks, as you were just mentioning, if we all just got up and said, oh, what a horrible day this is going to be, and he says the way to say that is get over it. Put anything you have in front of you and just get on with your life.
Well, that's what I say. Life is an obstacle course, not a jungle. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I will be back in a minute on the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com and see what he was looking at. Top right.
Savage.
You don't remember me, but I remember you. 'Twas not so long ago, you broke my heart in two.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now, we are talking about a very serious case. A man who had the public trust, a man who posed as a liberal, a man who posed as a champion of things progressive. Behind the scenes, he was engaging in trading child pornography. But even worse, if you go on to the document of the case, on page 15 of 26, it gets so bad that I can't read it to you. But it's about him fantasizing about his son's friend who came over and how he fantasizes doing things with the son. And his own daughter. His own son and daughter are involved in the man's fantasies, according to this transcript between him and the individual he's communicating with. Now you say, well, all right, it's his fantasies, a sick man. And you are right. You are right. It's his fantasies, it's his business in that regard, and he is an ill man, in my opinion. He needs a lot of help, and he needs a lot of treatment. By the way, I still don't understand how he got home detainment. I do not understand that. I do not understand it at all. Other than the fact that he's been protected by the judges in this sick city, the same judges who condemn the Boy Scouts protect the child pornographers, the same judges who protect so many things, even murderers, and condemn the Boy Scouts. That's the judges of San Francisco. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I had this case that I had to withdraw from, even though I spent a ton of your money getting to that point, because I was facing a stone wall, and it would have just made the lawyer richer. You want to be honest with you? That's all it would have done. It fattened the lawyer a little bit more. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of feeding the legal system. So whatever money is left and whatever additional money you send to the Michael Savage Defense Fund, I'm sending it out. I sent a little bit of money to the Louis, I forget his name. I forget the soldier who's being accused of a war crime who has no money. Rosario. I'm going to send Mrs. Bologna money. I'm going to take that fund and I'm going to disperse it for people like this. So don't think that you don't count. You do count. What I'm going to do is take that fund and turn it into the equivalent of a conservative ACLU. We are going to fight the good fight from the other side with your help. I will, if I have to, hire a full-time lawyer to run the fund for me. But I made that decision the last few days. I don't have enough to do, but I'm going to do that. I may hire a battery of attorneys, and I'm going to take on the ACLU from the other side with your help. If anyone could do it, it'll be me. Now let's go to the callers. Emil in San Francisco, welcome to the program.
I got to give it to you straight, Mike. Punishment's not coming for Bernie Ward. Judge Von Walker, I've been before him five times now. The man is known as the premier senior black robe on the 17th floor at 450 Golden Gate Avenue.
Yeah, well, you're a former DEA agent, Emil. I know who you are. You know, you know what you're talking about. You're telling me this judge was shopped to him specifically? You're not telling me he's going to walk, is he?
He's not going to. He's going to go, but he's going to depart from the sentencing guidelines. You're looking at 24, 26 months, and then you get 50 days good time per year. So you're
Now, wait a minute. Wait, well, let's slow. Emil, come on. You're a DEA. You're an ex-DEA, so you know federal. And you know this judge is a whack job left-wing plant. We understand that. But let me ask you something. If the federal government in the criminal division, child exploitation, demands 9 years, Michael Yoon, the judge can do what he wants?
Absolutely. The judge can depart at any time for any reason. And AUSA, in this case, has zero pull. He goes before the judge. He listens to Von Walker. He can appeal the case, but that's all.
Okay, so let's say this judge, this left-wing whack job, Von Walker, gives him a very light sentence. Can the federal government appeal the case?
Yeah, they can appeal the sentencing, but that's it.
Where can they appeal it to?
Ninth Circuit.
Oh, the Ninth Circuit, my good friends in the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, whose chief justice, by the way, was recently recently involved in himself dealing in pornography for his own pleasure, of course, Emil. That's the Ninth Circuit, which is when I saw that, I said, this is over. In my own particular struggles. It's like living in Sodom and Gomorrah, Emil. It gets worse by the second. You actually think Vaughn Walker's going to shop it down to 2 years?
Just below 2.5. Absolutely. No question.
But, Emil, wait a minute. His own lawyer, Ward's own lawyer, is asking for 5.
It doesn't matter. The defense team has been kicking their heels ever since they drew a docket with Judge Von Walker on the 17th floor. Everyone knows you get Judge Von Walker, you're going to walk.
A female toddler posing next to a blank, an image of a blank penetrating a young female. A series of 6 images showing a girl blank. A young girl tied up with a mouth taped blank. A young girl tied up with rope. You're telling me Judge Walker has the nerve to think that the people are not going to rise up if he gives them a slap on the wrist?
You watch next week. You're giving me agita with the description here, but we're talking Judge Von Walker now. It's in his hands.
Oh, yeah. What does the judge think? He's God? He doesn't think he's made of flesh and blood? He doesn't think 10,000 people could come outside his courtroom and say it's enough is enough?
Hey, Mike, this is San Francisco. You know.
I don't care if it's Sodom and Gomorrah. There are hundreds of thousands of people who can't take it anymore. And that judge is not going to get away with taking this case onto his hands for his own fun. He's not going to get away. If I have to bring 10,000 people outside the courtroom, if he does this, I will.
And additionally, until something like this kind of tragedy affects someone of notoriety like Feinstein and Gavin Newsom and the big names, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect their payday. Until it hits them and their doorstep, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Emil, how come the Italian grandmother of the city, the Catholic grandmother, Mrs. Pelosi, who expresses her love for this city, has nothing to say about this vile crime?
Hey, Calabrese, what can I say?
No, stop it, Emil. Don't be mean. You're not telling me you're not from Calabria, are you?
You're a Calabrese, sì.
You are from Calabria.
Yeah, mi paese è Fiori. My little town is a flower in the Reggio di Calabria.
As long as it's not the Knights of Cabiria, we're in business.
Gee.
Hey, have fun tonight with the bocce and the vino.
I'll see you in North Beach.
I will. You will tonight. I'll be lurking around with hat dipped low and collar turned high. But truthfully, I'm going to have to take at least an hour before I can even go out in the streets after this show. I am soaked from head to toe from what I have been doing on this show today, and that is good. You know, a man should leave his workplace feeling spent. I learned that when I first started in radio. I used to get it drained. And a very wise program director said to me, that's the mark of a good show. There's a limit to how drained you want to be. But if you walk out and you don't really feel anything and you can go on to something else and you don't remember anything you said, fine. You're different than me. Okay, let's move on. Richard is on the other side of the aisle. He's going to have his moment now, and it's okay. I expect people to have differences of opinion with regard to the sentencing. Richard in San Diego, go ahead. Please make your case.
Hi, Michael. I just really think that the government should not be getting into the business of prosecuting people for other than acts, other than what they do.
I understand that, and on the face of it, you think you're being reasonable in saying that. But think for a moment beyond that. How do you get little children as young as 3 years old to make these pictures? Do you think they honestly want to do this?
Of course not.
Okay. So how are the children gotten to do this? They're kidnapped. And if you're aiding and abetting kidnapping because it makes you have a good time, how different is that than actually engaging and doing it to them?
Well, I wonder if you can really say that you're aiding and abetting by merely looking at something. I mean, if we start punishing people for looking at stuff as opposed to being participants in the crime itself, then the next step is punishing people for what they think, what they say, and that's the slippery slope toward being like...
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I myself fear a government with too much power, and you know that. And I'm a libertarian in regard to this, but... A caller earlier said that every single image of these children in sex acts is a crime scene. Made some very stark sense to me because that child was put there against the will of the child, and so therefore a crime had been committed. A defendant acquired images of children being molested for his own prurient and selfish interests without regard to the victimization of the children depicted. Doesn't that ring true to you?
Yes, but Michael, think about the pictures on the internet of genocides. You can go to sites, there's their heads blown away. And so is looking at that kind of stuff going to be participating in the crime of genocide that was committed?
No,
there?
But I will tell you the difference, and here I can tell you the difference. The crimes that are committed that you're talking about of genocide are not performed for the prurient interest of the viewer. They're performed, albeit for horrendous reasons, but they're not staged specifically for commercial purposes, as are these images.
You have a good point there.
Well, okay, look, you're making me think about things, and I'm going to work right to the end of this show, and then after about an hour, I'm going to go out and drink more than I should. But the fact of the matter is, yes, genocidal pictures are horrendous, but they weren't performed, to sell or for the pleasure of anyone. They're performed by fiendish monsters, let us say, governments, warlords, whatever. But in this case, these images were created specifically for commercial purposes. And so that's why Congress has repeatedly stated that penalties for the offenses committed by the defendant should be harsh. That's why they passed this law. The government did so specifically to protect children from those who would exploit them. In other words, these are not images of children being exploited that were being exploited by accident. They were staged specifically to exploit the children. And it says the federal child sexual exploitation statutes and penalty provisions are designed to provide just punishment for the offenses that the defendant has committed. So it's extremely different than the case that you just described, Richard. But I want to thank you for having an open mind and making me use mine. New York City, WOR Cal, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Uncle Mike, first of all, my condolences to the Bologna family.
Thank you.
Former liberal turned conservative thanks to you. I'm an ex-felon. I'm a father of two beautiful daughters and a Republican rapper, and I just want to say that Bernie Ward deserves 10 years hard labor, not some time in a country club, and Ramos deserves the death penalty.
Okay, my friend, but let me ask you something, liberal conservative. This is an interesting question. Many people don't know who to be or what or who's better for society. Let us ask this question. Who would be more lenient with regard to the production, dissemination, and viewing of child pornography, a conservative or a liberal?
Without doubt, a liberal.
Okay. Who would crack down on the exploitation of children more harshly, a conservative or a liberal?
A conservative.
Who would punish most severely if they had the control, possibly even with a life in prison without parole, a purveyor of pornography of children, a conservative or a liberal?
A true conservative.
And who would not punish this crime at all if they had the power, the absolute power to grant it? Who would say, it doesn't hurt anybody, there should be no punishment, and therefore increase the number of children being snatched off the streets, and therefore increase the number of children being molested, and therefore increase the number of children being exploited? The answer, of course, is a liberal, and I thank you for the call. And I rest my case, and I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Bernie Ward case comes before the esteemed Judge Vaughn R. Walker next week, right at the end of the Democrat National Convention. It was planned so that you wouldn't pay any attention to it. That's the government media complex. Vaughn Walker was nominated by George H.W. Bush on September 7th, 1989, to a seat vacated by another judge. Educated Stanford Law, of course. Race or ethnicity, gender, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see what this very liberal judge appointed by Mr. Bush's father does next week, if justice will prevail. He is God Almighty, the judge, as you well know. And as you know, judges in San Francisco think that they're a law unto themselves. They answer to no higher authority than themselves. And we will see if he will defy the will of the people. It's very interesting to see what will happen next week. Now, you've got a federal prosecutor asking for 9 years and the man's own attorney asking for five. I truly don't believe that the judge is going to give him less than five. I don't see how. New York City, Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. You know as well as I do, better than I do, that a sexually transmitted disease can live in a person for 25, 30 years and bite them when it so chooses. I know this because it's done that to me. I'm fighting, and it will be 3 years since I took the cure for latent syphilis. I was raped in a hotel in California by the manager of a hotel in California. I will repeat to you what they said to me when I called the police in California. They said, lady, you're a single woman traveling alone. Save yourself trouble. Go home. I said, you don't understand. I have a business. I'll sell it.
Wait, in the city of San Francisco, if I may ask?
Oh. San Francisco. I said, I'll put him away for you. I have identifying factors. I know his name. I know his height. I know where he is. I'll put him away for you. He said, lady, if you screamed rape and we were in the hotel and we broke down your door and we found him in front of your bed with his pants down, lady, we could prove if there was sex, you'd have to prove you didn't invite him. Guess what? This program is a blessing because I have been living with this for a very long period of time. That was supposed to be a husband-wife vacation for my new husband and myself. He couldn't go as a teacher. I went with my manager of my office. He came and he used his key. They have keys to all doors. They do what they want to anyone. Damn it.
I hear you. And I hear you.
Anywhere children are victimized. And they live.
That's right. And the judges in this city condemn the Boy Scouts of America. And they support a child molester, a child rapist, a felon, illegal alien felon who murders people. That's who they shield. It's an out-of-control city that under the surface of the color picture and the nice pasta, not big fancy restaurants, everyone's happy. Underneath it is Al Capone and his gang running the city. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like a gang took over the city, and they have these front men here protecting them. There's no other explanation for it. And I tell you, I have to repeat it again, I think the federal government has to send in the FBI and take the city back under its control, or it's going to get worse. More people are going to die. More children are going to disappear. More women are going to be raped. Unless the federal government intervenes and takes the city away from this gang that is running it. New York City, Gene, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I actually live in New Jersey, and 20 years ago we had a writing campaign against child pornography, and our governor here wrote back and said it's freedom of speech. But 2 years ago...
Wait, Governor Corzine supported child pornography?
No, this was 20 years ago. It was Governor Florio at the time.
Oh.
But we've been fighting this for 20 years here, and 2 years ago, the worst child molester was caught here. He abused little boys, little girls. He had a little black book with all his little sick stuff in it. But finally, I guess under Governor Corzine now, we have a special unit here. And the state police, they investigate for the whole state. But it took...
Yeah, but we have a special unit, and we have a special FBI, and they all do their job, and then it goes to a liberal whack job judge, and he can do what he wants. How is that possible? What kind of system is this, that a judge has more power than the people?
But it's finally now. You know, it's been 20 years I've been fighting this. So
Okay, we'll get online behind you. Oh, boy. North Carolina, Jay, you're going to have a quick 30 seconds. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I work for the Department of Justice, and I'm going to tell you, this first caller that you had at the beginning of the show, I cannot even believe that he's even walking the street. It makes me want to vomit to think that just to look at the child pornography is not a crime. It is a crime. The victim is being a victim all over again, and I work every day with these people out here, and I've been for 14 years, and I can
But, Jay, let me ask you, since you work for the DOJ and their prosecuting ward, does this judge have the power to dismiss the case down to 2 years when the sentencing guidelines call for 20, prosecutors asking for 9, and his own lawyers asking for 5?
The judge has the power to do whatever they or she, he or she wants, and I'm going to tell you something. The man was right. Every one of the guys out here are looking at 24 to 36 months at the most for some of the most hideous crimes that would make your pictures on your website look like a fairy tale land.
Oh, God. Okay, so the stench from the bench is making me clench. It's the filth underneath the black robes that must be swept out with a clean, toxic broom.
Savage.